I have a feeling, a sense, let's call it, that for most of us, baptism is not something we give very much thought. Among those of us raised Presbyterian, few remember our own baptisms, and it can be easy for us to not think much about it until we repeat the cycle with our own children, or in my case, we go to seminary. In some congregations, baptisms occur frequently, which helps to fill in that gap, but here in Romney, we have only celebrated one in the nearly 4 years of my service to this congregation. So, as today is the Sunday in which we remember Jesus' baptism by John, I am taking the opportunity to encourage us all to remember our baptisms, or perhaps remember the fact of our baptisms. If anyone hearing me has not been baptized today, I do invite you to come and talk to me or any of the elders of the church. Here in person, we have Lisa, Don, Scott, and John Dan, who are all available, or I believe Beverly as well. You can talk to any of us or any member of session. We do, though, recognize here the baptisms performed by all other Christian traditions who baptize with water and in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which is nearly all of them. Historically, baptism has united Christians across time and traditions. Different Christian groups do understand it in different ways, but it unites us across time and space. I want to go further back in history, though. Baptism itself did not originate with Christians. It did not even originate with John the Baptizer. The word baptism comes from a Greek word meaning to dip. The Hebrew scriptures have several references to ritual washing, and while they, being written in Hebrew, not Greek, don't use the Greek word baptism, there are several archaeological sites with ancient Jewish baptismal pools. The Jewish practice, however, was to wash for specific reasons and events that might render a person ritualistically unclean or perhaps in preparation for a particular ceremony, including, by at least some, every meal. In Luke 11, the Pharisees criticize Jesus for not washing himself before eating, but the word used in the Greek there is not the word to wash, but the word to baptize. The Pharisees are asking why Jesus does not baptize himself before every meal. John the Baptizer, about whom we read today, expanded baptism from an act about specific sins or circumstances into a more general blanket washing away of sin. For John the Baptist and for the Mandeans, which is the name of the still existing religious group who follow John the Baptist, it was something to be regularly repeated. This repetitive practice is likely the baptism of John referenced by Paul in today's reading from Acts. This is in contrast to what Paul calls the baptism of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, which only needs to be performed once. As Presbyterians, we share with most Christians the belief that baptism should only be done once. Unlike some Christian traditions, we believe that baptism is not an act by which we initiate a relationship with God or the church, but we believe that it is an act in which we acknowledge what God has already done. As a result, we do allow infant baptism in the Presbyterian Church because we believe God's love claims us, even before we are aware of or able to respond to God's call in our lives. We will also baptize adults because whenever we feel God's call, it deserves a response. Ultimately, because we believe that baptism is a human response to what God has already done, we do not believe that baptism is a prerequisite for salvation. And unlike many traditions, we do not believe that baptism is a requirement before one can receive the Lord's Supper, as we will do later today. We do, though, believe that community is a necessary part of the Christian faith. And this is why in the Presbyterian Church, baptisms are, barring exceptional circumstances, performed during ordinary Sunday worship in the presence of the whole congregation. Whether for an infant presented by parents or an adult presenting themselves, we ask those coming to be baptized only one question: do you want to be baptized? We ask the congregation too: do you, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, promise to guide and nurture, name, by word and deed, with love and prayer? And we ask, will you encourage them to know and follow Christ, and to be faithful members of his church? We ask these questions of the congregation at each and every baptism, whether of a child or an adult, because we believe that we are at our best as Christians in community. These questions to the congregation form our baptismal vows, vows undertaken not by the person to be baptized, but by the community pledging to support that person. And I ask further, we shouldn't understand these vows as only applying to those baptisms we have personally witnessed. They are a promise we make to each and every part of the body of Christ. When we are invited, then, to remember our baptisms, I hope that we are not only trying to remember our own, especially for those who, like me, were baptized well before we could form memory, but that we remember these questions that we have been asked every time we have witnessed a baptism. Questions that are asked as well of each and every member of the church about us. As we proceed with our service today, as we gather around the Lord's table this morning, I urge us all to consider how we are upholding those baptismal vows and how we might better serve each other. Do we promise to guide and nurture each other by word and deed, with love and prayer? Will we encourage each other to know and follow Christ and be faithful members of the church? I pray we do and we will. Amen.